How you can communicate with souls at will?
Somehow, yes, I do. And then I do one-on-one session. And then the moment people ask questions, I start to see pictures. Mostly they communicate with me. They show me like a short, like kind of a sceneries or pictures or something they can show for my life, which I know will relate with that person.
So now that you've studied all religions, and you say all religions carry the truth, basically. But do all religions lie as well?
Lie. The preachers want to bring the aggregation. The more people come to listen to them, the greater. They are more money, they bring to the revenue. But generally, message is correct. But all the religions are playing their role, vital role, in a school called Earth.
So the souls that are left behind an earth, because the ones that are lost, basically the ones people say acquired another body, so these are the souls basically who were scared to cross over.
But it depends what you believe. If you believe you belong to heaven, you will be in a place which is the real heaven. If you believe like you want to go first to hell, then you will find yourself in a hell.
Okay, that's so hell does exist.
Well, you get drawn to the reality you believe you belong to. But if you don't ready to see anyone or don't trust them and you believe you belong to hell, you will end up in hell.
So what happens when the soul leaves the body? Do you think reincarnation is real? Let's find out today with our very special guest. Hi, Atul. Welcome. Thank you for taking out time for us.
Thank you for having me.
So Atul, tell us about yourself.
I was born in Armenia. The time was a communist state. And graduated Polytechnical University, and 30 years ago I moved to South Africa with my family, and that's where everything started to happen. I came to the place, as we arrived with my wife and kids, I said, Grace, I came home. Somehow it felt I came home.
Okay.
And from here everything starts and like went like big roller coaster. What exactly would you like to know?
Everything. So tell me how it started. How can you talk to souls? How do you have this knowledge? And why?
It was like inner call. I knew there is something missing in my life. I want to know more. Always this urge of knowledge was with me. And then when we came to South Africa, I obviously couldn't speak English. So I started to learn. I was learning and then... I had this urge of there is something I want to dig in, I want to know, but I don't know exactly what. So my daughter on my birthday gave me as a gift a book about philosophy, history of philosophy. Never read anything in my life in English. So it was my first book. Half of the words I couldn't understand, but I was adamantly reading. And the kids was asking, Teddy, do you understand? I said, somehow I understand what they're talking about.
Okay.
And then from there, I start to read a lot. My interest was into the philosophies, Western, Eastern, anything I can get my hands on. As I start to read, I start to understand a little bit more, learn more words. And then I said, no, something is missing here. And then I start to went into religion. Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, whatever I could hang my hands on, reading. Something missing, some vital information was still missing. And then I asked myself, what hell am I actually looking for? What I want to know? And then I realized I want to know what happened to us from the moment we die. What after hell? This is, and then I start to find the finding books, which is Egyptian Book of Death, Bart Otodol, went to the start to read that, and I said, nah, it's more to it. And then eventually I realized there is no book or information which can give me valuable information about what's really happened to us. And then it was like in afternoon, I was in my, I was going from one room to another, passing next to my coffee table. And on a coffee table, I always had been keeping the white sheet of paper and pencil, because I'm furniture designer. Time to time I sit, I make sketches. And then I realized I heard this voice in my head, which pushing me to, I'm compelled to sit and to write down. So I don't know what yet. I grab the pencil, I sit down, and I start to write. And then next moment I realize there's no glasses on the table. And there's no one to give me glasses. My wife was upstairs. And then now I'm writing, and thinking, am I going to be able to read what and what the hell I'm writing? I realize I'm writing like a dialogue between two characters talking to each other. Basically, I've wrote first chapter of my book without my glasses and wondering if I will be able to read. And then when voice stops, call my wife, please great. Find my glasses. I wrote something. I need to read it. And then since that day, until now, I keep receiving these messages, these images. So I finished first book. And when I was done, I said, while I was writing the chapters of the book, some other being was stepping in between chapters and sending poetry in English. Before this, I never wrote anything. I can't save my life to spell English word. Until now, I can't write. So now I'm writing poetry and I'm writing book at the same time. And if you look at my scribbles, like there's a chapter and in between poetry and this chapter, and you feel this beautiful poetry coming through. And I'm asking, what is going on? And then the voice like behind me said, the one who next to you speaks through you. And then I said, okay, it makes sense. I wrote the one next to you speaks to you through you. And then when I've done with the first book, I said, thank you very much. I'm done. Can I go back to my work? Because this process was happening everywhere, at home, at work, at the restaurant. I had to write. And then when I realized, I'm writing book, actually, because so many characters start to step in. And then every character was stepping into the book. I felt I was becoming them. And everything they went through, I was experiencing. I could have sit 2 o'clock in the morning and write the chapter and crying at the same time, because that's what the soul was experiencing. Eventually, when I've done with the book, I said, thank you very much. I've done what you want. And then a couple of months later, we traveled back to Armenia, where I come from. And we met with our friends. We spoke to them. And then when it was coming, time was to come back, a friend of mine said, I want to give you a gift of the 2 napkin holders, like silver napkin holders, simple, but they were antique. So we took, we packed it, we came to South Africa. And then as Grace, my wife, was unpacking the suitcase, she called me. I said, Arthur, come upstairs quickly. I said, what happened? Come, see something more. I run upstairs. Now, she said, read, inside of those napkin holders, one of them says Henry, another one was saying Rose. So this is a name of my main characters in a book.
Wow.
And the friend of mine didn't even know I wrote the book. We didn't say anything, but something for fun, you know? And then we realized that this is actually was true story. It was given to me so I can put into the writing. It's just to tell me story of the love story, what happened to them once they crossed over. Because the entire book was unveiling what happened to that character from the moment he died in a hospital. And wife staying in the physical world, him there, their dynamics, how they communicate. And then, I don't want to tell more about book, but I realized it was a true story. And both of them, at the same time, we say to each other, we have to dig a hole and put this in the ground, like very last evidence of them ever being here on the planet Earth. And until now, it's in my backyard. So this is what story of my first book, yeah.
And then, so that's when the whole process began, all your knowledge of the afterlife and...
I start to learn about afterlife through the book. And then comes the second book, and then the third book we're almost done with. But in between... I find myself in a state of the mind when you ask question, and then you get answer. It can be immediately, it can be next day, it can be in a shower. I do in the shower lots of downloading happening, when I'm in the water. So, this was interesting. Between two realities. I currently exist spontaneously between two realities. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, I don't know where I am. Am I here or where I was during when I was asleep? So this is a bit lively with the, I can't say it's unpleasant. It's quite pleasant. It's most not easy to adapt first. Yeah.
Yeah.
It will be permanently in contact, not with the one being, like whoever wants to use you to deliver message.
Okay.
They will use you a bit. You can be in a restaurant or anyway. They just, I can walk to the stranger and say, you know what? This is a message you need to hear that will work.
Wow.
And if how, I don't how, do...
And how would people react?
Most of them, they get grateful with the gratitude. Thank you very much. That's what we need to hear for this time of our life. And if I don't do that, I feel like something choking me. I'm running out of breath. And I'm not the person who will speak to anyone. I'm very closed and I'm introvert. Okay. And then suddenly Grace, my wife saying, are you crazy? What are you doing? I said, Grace, I can't control it. If I don't do it, I will die. I can't breathe. And that's how it all started.
How you can communicate with souls at will?
Somehow, yes, I do. And then I do one-on-one session. And then the moment people ask questions, I start to see pictures. Mostly they communicate with me. They show me like a short, like kind of a sceneries or pictures or something they can show for my life, which I know will relate with that person. What I experienced, it will help him or her to see their own life through that perspective. So it's an interesting way of communication.
Okay.
But it's not one being, it's a lot. And eventually I said, what the hell is going on? How do I download this information? And then I wake up in the morning, it was about a couple of weeks ago, but with the distinguished knowledge, they said, this is first dimensional consciousness. When you know whatever you need to know without knowing anything.
Mm.
So this came so clear, it like stays with me since I hear that. Basically, whatever you need to know, not you want to know, you need to know, will be given to you in that moment.
That's wonderful. And how long ago was this? The whole experience of the book writing?
Book writing, it was about 12 years ago.
Wow.
And from that, it's keep escalating. It's coming more and more. And I realize the information which is there for me to download, I have to be ready for that information. If I'm not ready, I will not be able to interpret it in the way they want me to understand.
Yeah.
Understand. So why I know this? Because when I was writing my third book, in the middle of the book, somehow like everything went into the complete stop. Suddenly the voices disappeared, pictures disappeared. Like I understood what is a writer's block. It's a horrible feeling. Like you've been guided for so many years and then suddenly everybody forgot about you. 3 months, not sound. Usually when I sit down to write, I can hear there's noise. And I don't write. When they finish, I can hear again with that. Okay, so this is how I communicate with the spirit world. I got distinguished click. And then, and 3 months later, I remember I was in a bookstore. I find myself in front of the religious section. It's not, I'm not that type of guys. I'm quite far from religion. And I felt, I need to buy this Bible. Chris said, Bible, since when you want to read? I said, I read Bible in Russian, but I felt compelled to read in English. So I bought the Bible, read all the four Gospels. It's the moment I finished reading, the voice came back, and they start to talk to me and let me know about Christian egregor or Christian reality, which non-physical reality, how it's structured. And they took me to the like most places which I never crossed my mind they exist. So I wasn't ready for that information. The moment I prepared myself, the information come.
Okay. And you could continue writing the book.
Yeah. In the third book is a lot, half of it about Christ, that is reality, how it's structured, where Christian goes when they die. Like we all think that afterlife is one place. Mm. It's some billions and billions of different realities. Based on what you believe, that's where you get pulled to.
Yeah.
So there's no right and wrong when it comes to religion. There is no absolute truth. Yeah. Everyone got its own truth, and we have to learn to respect that. And all the religions, it's nothing false. It's all truth. But I want your questions.
So now that you've studied all religions, and you say all religions carry the truth, basically. But do all religions lie as well?
Lie.
Yeah.
It's not intentional lie. I understood that the preachers wants to bring the congregation. Mm. The more people come to listen to them, the greater. They are more money. They bring their revenue. But generally, message is correct. But all the religions are playing their role, vital role, in a school called Earth. If you imagine like a school, each class, it's one religion. So we need to go from the class to class and to study, and then only to make assumption, to understand, to draw. The moment you understand what is religion about, and you see that religion externally, then you can move out of that religion. While you in there, for you, it's ultimate. Like your scripture is the best scripture. This is the word of God. And then you in it. But to understand, you have to step out of it, which is hard to do. But sooner or later, all souls do that.
Okay.
And then you find yourself completely out of all the religions. And then you stop judging them and trying to find fault. Because they're all playing a role in formation of our consciousness, the soul's consciousness. It's like you move from grade one to grade two, then grade two to grade three. This is what religions are helping us to move until we find ourselves out of all religions.
Mm-hmm.
And no judgment and acceptance of the things the way they are. And you understand why those religions were created and how vital role they are playing in formation of our consciousness.
Yes. So what is the first step? What happens when the soul leaves the body?
First of all, you find yourself, you see yourself out of your body. You're basically floating. If you're in a room or in a hospital, like between ceiling and the body, and you see what's happening. Oh, it's operational. No matter what you are. The second step is what you believe in.
Hmm.
Where do you believe you belong?
Okay.
This is most important thing, because when your spirit guides are there and your relative arriving to welcome you, you won't see them until you're ready to see them. So if your religion said you're going to see the Christ, you will see the Christ. If they say you're going to see Buddha, you believe Buddha, the Buddha will come and welcome you. So your spirit guides, they're manipulating with that non-physical reality to make your exit from this physical reality most comfortable. So you feel in peace. You won't be frightened. So it can come your relative. It can come religious leader you will face. And you don't panic. And you know you're in the right place. The problem I find out with the non-believers, with the atheists, who believes that after death is nothing.
Yeah.
We just die and we disappear. Those souls, now I'm going to speak on behalf of trackers and spirit guides. Trackers are the souls who are helping to track lost souls. If you're not ready to see someone there to greet and to welcome you, even if they all come together, you won't see them because you know there is nothing after that.
Okay.
So, that you want me to elaborate on that?
Yes, please.
Go ahead. If you don't believe, and then you find yourself floating in mid-air and watching on your body, people working on it and trying to resuscitate you and bring you back to life, first thing you think it's safe place to be. That safe place to be for that soul, it can be anywhere in the world. It can be in his childhood. It can be his granny's house or somewhere he was, or attic or somewhere on the roof where he was all alone and was safe, or under the bed somewhere. And then you immediately get drawn into that reality.
Yeah.
Now the spirit guide who are here to welcome you, they're not prepared to track you, to find you where you. Then we ask trackers to come in. They're helping to locate, so they are more advanced beings. where being of the it's so you can appear in a past. Maybe that house does not exist anymore in the physical world, but you find your comfort there under that bed, because from young age you was safest place for you to be there. Now the moment they find the track is find and locate the soul, now they need to find another soul who is not in fourth dimension to be some of the relative who had like love connection, emotional connection. So to ask her or him to come to help them to appear to that soul and to say safe place to withdraw them, to bring them back to the current time, to now from the past. So it's quite complicated structure, like past, present, and it's intertwining into each other. That's why it's important for people to understand who to expect and what to expect once we cross over.
So the souls that are left behind in Earth, because the ones that are lost, basically, the ones people say acquired another body. So these are the souls basically who are scared to cross over?
Those who believe that they someone they will welcome, they're okay. The ones who not believing in it, that's a problem. But now we have to understand what's happened to the soul who welcomed. Most of us, but it depends what you believe. If you believe you belong to heaven, you will be in a place which is a real heaven. If you believe, like Islam says, you believe you're going to go first to hell, then you will find yourself in a hell.
Okay. That's, so hell does exist.
So you get drawn to the reality you believe you belong to. And it takes time to get you out from there. So many Christians, which the time of then come to die or on a deathbed, they start to judge themselves and they start to remember things they've done wrong. Am I belong to heaven? What's going to happen? And because all these anxieties and fears bring you into your personal head, and once you cross over, you appear in that personal hell. So basically, you can be most beautiful place, but you don't see it because you create your own reality. Your spirit guides are responsible to create for you most comfortable place to arrive. But if you don't ready to see anyone or don't trust them and you believe you belong to hell, you will end up in hell.
Just on this topic, I want to share something. So in Hinduism, we have a practice that when somebody is dying, so the relatives or the family that is around, they chant mantras or, you read the Gita, and because the whole idea is to raise the vibration of the person before they cross over. And I guess this goes exactly with what you're saying, because
very important. It's very important. Also, your belief system, your traditions, if this is what has to be done and you know it must be done, you have to do for that soul. Then soul is comfortable to cross into the non-spirit, non-physical world, to the world of spirit. Because in your mind, If they don't do it, and then you, what happened? Why are they not doing what they're supposed to? Then you panic. So all this, what traditions were saying, you have to do, and so be, and the person who is about to die believe that's going to happen, you have to perform all the rituals. Even being there, if you have every year to go somewhere to pray for him or to put care or to put some offerings, if you don't do it, they will get upset with you. Because that's what they believe in. You understand? Yeah. So there is not one place everyone goes. Like Christians, they will be happy if you go once a year to the graveyard or say a prayer or try. So this is basically very tradition and religious mindset. So for each soul is different. For each culture is different. When you look at the four dimensional realities, they're structured like this is an egregor, collective consciousness for Hindu. This is for Buddhists. This is for Christians, for Hindus. I mean, all the religions got their egregor where you get pulled once you cross over. So place you go in 90% of cases is most pleasant place to be. And also what you expect, because your guide being your entire life with you, they know what is your expectation and what is the dream. I've seen so many souls living on the private island or living on a beach or someday the forest they always dream to have. So all these realities, which we say non-physical realities, get created then in non-physical world. But once you step into reality, everything is normal for you because you are part of your reality and your vibration correlates with vibration of the nature you are in, and you feel like you're physical. And appearance, it's same appearance, same mean. While crossing over, we not become some momentarily like wiser. We same consciousness crossing over. Okay, I talk too much, I know.
No, it's very enlightening, everything that we're discussing. So at what point does reincarnation take place? How long does that take?
Okay. Now when we come to the understanding of what is a young soul and old soul. Because creation of soul, some say soul's been creating once and they never been. It's not true. When Earth was populating, the time came to introduce humanity to the planet. Yeah, it was created some amount of souls. We call them Earthlings, which are start the reincarnational cycle. That time they were young souls. It's thousands of years ago, 50, 60,000 years ago, maybe more. Universe doesn't operate with the time. So now they are all gone. They've been through the reincarnational cycles. They learn whatever they learn, they move on. But still young souls keep coming to this reality. So for young souls, when they arrive to this world, for them, it's all about survival. Harsh conditions. You put old soul in for 1 week, they will die in a condition where young soul can survive. Because for them, it's not learning emotional stuff, not falling in love hopelessly. It's not about a forgiveness and kindness. It's all survival. And then young soul who comes here to this reality with a great, humongous free will. They can do whatever they like. They were forgiven. It's like kids. You can break, you can draw on a wall. It's okay. Well, because you're young. As we grow, it's from baby stage, we become young souls, and then we become mature souls, we become old souls and advanced souls. The advanced souls have come very limited will because they come with a mission. Those souls are teachers, the gurus, where they come to help us with our ascension and our growth. They are, in their mind, it's like strong embedded of understanding of right and wrong, moral things, honor, dignity, integrity, very important for them. So, and then all in between. So young souls, to a question, they incarnate very quickly. And that's why it's a big demand of the bodies. Young souls, they're living in a poor conditions. They can have 5, 6, 7, sometimes 10 kids. And when you think, how is this possible? They can't even fit one. They're having 10 because it's a demand of the bodies. They don't stay long enough for that. Reincarnation happens very quickly. When you look at the old souls, they've got everything, but they struggle to have a cut. Why can't they fall pregnant? Because old souls, they are not in rush to come back to this reality. They learn a lot and they're tired because their tasks here are emotional, not physical. And this drains you. Once you get pulled into your paradise, personal paradise, you say, I'm not going back. I had enough of this shit. And then I want there. Everything is perfect. You've got nothing to strive, nothing to fight for. And you say, well, maybe your spirit guide says, maybe. What do you think? Another visit to Earth. And then you think one lifetime on Earth when you're there, it's like, goes by the blink of an eye. I said, why not? Let me feel again alive. And then you take another life. And that's why all these families are rich and then with the capabilities to provide to their kids are enabled to have a kids because no one wants to come back. That's the problem. You have to convince that soul who is up there watching you, I will be a good parent. It's like basically they've got so much to choose from. But when the young comes to the young soul, first available body, and then the parents will have one kids after another, not even registering what they're doing because it's a big demand.
Okay. People who have difficult lives that we see around us, basically you're saying they are young souls.
In learning process, yeah. It's not bad, good people. It's about grade 1, grade 2, grade 3.
Yeah, okay. I get that.
We start on a physical, very touched to the earth. The young soul always dealing with the earth. Like technologies is difficult for them to comprehend. They don't need that. For them, they come here to survive and to feel, to understand what is it to be human. Some of them is the first visit to this planet.
Okay.
When also they're about to graduate their school, And then most of them come here just to share with their knowledge, because they've got so many lives behind them, and then give you so much and help you to grow spiritually and intellectually too.
Yeah. So now that we're talking about souls, what do you think about animal souls and plant souls? Do they have a similar lifestyle, or somebody who has been a human, can they come back as an animal?
No, cannot okay. come. Can work other way around.
Okay.
Now, consciousness occupies space.
Yeah.
Like, if you take Creator's consciousness, God, Supreme Creator of everything, we are part of His part. That's why we cannot explain Supreme Creator. God's we can, but the Creator of entire, you can't, because you are part of Him. To understand Him, you have to step out of Him, which is impossible because you are integral part of it. So consciousness, it's occupied space. Now your consciousness has inside you and out of you, and it's very advanced. Now to put that consciousness into the consciousness of dog or any other animal, it will fry that animal's brain. It's too much. You're not okay. too much. It's you cannot go back. We're always progressing. Animals have a soul. Plants have a soul. Even minerals have the soul. Now we're coming, what is a soul? Soul is an energy. The moment we have an energy, then we got consciousness. Just simple, if you take atom with the nucleus and electron running around, it, it's already consciousness. Different consciousness to ours, but it is consciousness. And also important to understand, the entire physical world is a product of consciousness's activity. So first come idea, and then come the physical world. So the question is, what come first, chicken or egg? We can firmly say chicken come first, because first you don't design building by starting to design brick. So first we design chicken itself, and then we think about how we're going to reproduce. Then we come up with the egg idea. So everything on a different level of consciousness. I know it doesn't correlate with what Indian says, but if you see as a punishment to put your consciousness into some other animal's mind, and if that animal don't realize that it's a punishment for him, then there is no punishment.
Yeah.
Now, they move on with their life. Animals operate differently. They got collective consciousness. You take a cow or any other animal anywhere in the world, they act same way exactly as they act in your country or in America or in Australia, because they got collective consciousness of behavior. The human, we out of that, we got individual consciousness. We are separate. We step out of that egregore, of that reality, and we are complete. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes. But then is there something like a punishment? Are souls punished?
We don't, okay, I'll speak on behind of the creators. We are not here to punish. Yeah. We are here to educate you. If you see it as a punishment, that's how you see it. But for us, plan for your life with all difficulties, with all the hurdles, with all obstacles, which will the right time to come to you. And you'll say, Jesus, what's happening? Am I punished? You're not punished. They're giving you opportunity to learn. Only through difficulties we learn and we grow.
Yeah.
But there is no punishment. You can't do anything which Creator will say, geez, this person does something no one ever done. No, they know everything. And they expect everything what we can do.
So is your next life based on the current life that you're living?
Yes.
Or you can choose something completely different?
No, it's very based. Very based. So now let me give you, okay, another image come. Once we cross the soul out of the body, we immediately will feel pulled in the heart. Like it's pulling you up. So most of the souls, when they're having a near-death experience, they say, I see the light. This light, you can imagine that elevator shaft. So you get into the elevator shaft and they will pull up, and then you end up on a level where you belong. Not only what you believe, also where you belong. That's important. You're surrounded with a soul, similar type of souls. It's like If you take somebody from the street, poor man, and you take him to the most prestigious restaurant, he feels out of place. He don't know how to handle stuff. He wants to run away. And you take this educated person, you take to the place where, like in a rural area where the people drinking and behaving badly, he can't stay. So this is basically you get pulled into reality you belong. And the soul's you in that reality and a similar level of vibration with you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can look down and then you say, wow, this is a hell. But for the souls who are there, it's not hell. For them, it's normal. You look, like in this world, you look and say, how these people can live in these conditions.
Yeah.
But they're born there and they live. It's okay for them. They don't understand how you can live in your penthouses.
Yes.
Makes sense. Yeah. But for them, it's a normal. You take them there and then they will turn your penthouse into the similar condition where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. You take old soul into the young soul's reality and that reality will start to bloom. So that's how it works. What was the question? I always get so
No, don't worry about it. The question was, is the next life dependent on this life?
Yes, yes. Very dependent. Depends how you live. If you're going through the life, helping other people, sharing, or doing positive, doing things which gives you ultimate pleasure. Because we get satisfied when we help someone with no rewards. You just do because you feel to do it. So you're elevating your vibrations and then you end up to the reality with a similar type of soul. And you understand each other. Now you must understand, on other side, I'm talking about advanced and old souls. You've got your personal reality, it's your personal world. And then we got common, a collective reality. That's called, we call them cities. So you can be in your reality where everything structured and designed the way you want to be. Or if it's island, it will be island. Or if it's beachfront, you will have a beachfront house. But it's yours. You can be with your alone there, or with your partner, or with the husband. You've been here. So, and then we got cities. In the cities, you can, when you walk through the cities, is most amazing place. You see people dressed in all time periods of ever planet Earth went through.
Yeah.
And cities are, they not only resembling our current cities, but they also, they carry in their memories all these beautiful buildings which have been demolished, are not here anymore, which we're talking about like seven wonders of the world. You can go find and see them there because it's that realities are much bigger and they keep memories. They are capable to memorize everything we created on the planet Earth. So you can go there, meet your friends, spend time in cafeteria, in coffee shop. Look, you will drink coffee. You won't sense it. You won't get the pleasure like you're having here. But while you still new, still your physical memories are with you because you don't have a physical body. It's a light body or etheric body. You can call whatever you like. It doesn't matter. The appearance is same, although no one is old. Everybody wants to look 28, 30 years old. And that's how they look. Only old souls prepared to look with the beard like we are wise souls here. Yeah. But most of the residents of the city are young. You mingle, you spend time with them. When you get tired, you get back drawn to your own reality.
Yeah.
So you travel there by your thought. So you think home, you appear home. You think city, you will appear in the city. Okay, more questions.
And then when we want to reincarnate, how do we decide which body to take? Based on our experience?
No. For that, we got very advanced beings. We call them planners. When you're ready to come down, the planners step in and they plan life for you. But that life is based on your previous lives. What in this time they think will be beneficiary for you? What task you're going to have? What you're going to learn this and with this descent to planet Earth? So they will draw for you what we call life tree. It's like literally like a tree. They will take you to the room with your spirit guide, which will be also chosen, and you will know each other, which you got the always emotional connection with spirit guide. In that room, the light will dim and you will see this tree standing and rotating. So the stamina, or the first part of the tree, the stem, I think they call it.
The trunk.
The trunk, yeah. it's single, because this is where you're a young age and they're almost reaching teenager age. You're not making your own decisions. Parents okay. make, so no decision. The moment you come to the first split, this comes your decision-making time. And depends what path you will choose, it will come to another split. And so basically you will see all the, you can travel by the on the crown of the tree and have some bits of information how your life will be in the next, if you choose this life tree, where we will end up, how you will look, people you will come across. You can see the person you always choose for you, your partner or your husband, or everything is pre-planned. Do you think it's how complicated? They do that with the like so easily. I've seen two of them that are extremely advanced being. It's impossible to talk to them because they know everything is what's coming. And then once you agreed with the tree, they will show you the family. So the wall, which they will just disappear, and you will see the room where your future parents are going through their daily routine. You can step into the room. You can feel dynamic of the parents as it correlates. Now I'm talking about old souls, not young. Young souls are not that. They just have to take next available body. So this also goes in, do I like the relationship of the parents? Do I like the house? If you are there, if you're coming to be a composer or pianist, you will make sure there is a piano in the house. The planners will make it. If you're going to be a writer, make sure they've got a nice library in the house. So all this, you're choosing basically two, maximum three families is not a big choice. Okay. So among two or three, you will choose, okay, this is best work for me. And then everything starts to unveil. And then by that time, the mother already pregnant. And usually in the thought of 4th month of pregnancy, souls get drawn into the body and take over the fetus. Now you must understand, for fetus, the spirit which it comes and takes, it's like an invader. And it's sometimes when we go through the difficult pregnancy, because repelling, the baby doesn't, pushing soul out. Sometimes it's happened with perfect measure and you go through the pregnancy with no problem at all.
Yeah.
Because it's like integrated immediately. It works.
Yeah.
So, but to descend, and then after from that room, we go to them and then we call preparation room. All souls get prepared to get descend to the planet Earth, because technologies, especially now, moving so fast, you have to be prepared to technologies you're going to face even in the future. They will be not here on the planet Earth, but they will encounter the technologies. That's why these young kids are, they're so good with all the technical stuff, the computer. They know to operate better than we can in our generation, because they can prepare it.
Okay.
And then once you went to your preparation, it's from our point of view, well, it could be it could be half a year, or for them, it's a couple of weeks. And then there's a long corridor. You walk into the corridor. Now, this is corridor, length of the corridor. I was trying always to establish, because always is different length. And then I realized this is giving you time to change your mind. Are you ready for this? The moment in your mind, because you leave everything behind. Now you're going down the corridor realizing, hey, what am I doing? Is it a good thing to do? The moment you come to understanding, yes, I'm ready for this, corridor will stop and you walk into the room where will be always, I see three beings, like angelic beings. I've seen three Buddhist monks, all depend the religion. And they come, they join hands around you. And in that very moment, you feel like you're falling down, like with a rapid accelerating speed. First of all, there's a like cloudy substance around you, and then it goes so fast, eventually you have to close your eyes. And then next moment, when impact happened, everything goes quiet, and you feel most comfortable place in the world. You end up warm, loving environment. You're in a baby's body. All worries gone, all the memories of previous lives, everything gone. Almost clear sheet. You are ready to start new beginning.
So now people, does it become a clear sheet instantly the moment the soul enters the body, or do kids remember for a while?
No, they don't remember anything.
Okay.
But what's happened?
Yeah.
Once child come to the get birth, when you look at the children, no matter race, nationality, they all act similarly. They look like same family. And then suddenly, a couple of weeks, months later, you see personality coming out. And you're wondering, wow, where did this come from?
Yeah.
Because that's that each child is connected with their higher self, that energy line here. And then with the time, slowly you're downloading your personality from your higher self. So the younger soul, the narrower the connection. The older souls, they got like a pipeline connected. So they're downloading more information. And when you're wondering, 5, 6 year old playing Chopin or Beethoven without even reading notes, where did this come from? Because they're downloading all what they knew before.
Mm.
Sometimes for young soul, you can go entire through life, but this is like a thickness of the spider wave, your connection.
Okay.
But for the old advanced souls, this thing, your crown chakra is growing, going, opening, and you're bringing information where you said, where this come from, you don't even understand. But all that, your knowledge was held in a top fourth dimensional or first dimensional reality. So everything is with your higher self. So everything you know before you taking the body, you leave all that information with your higher self. It's like a cloud. It's like a knowledge. Everything you knew. That your higher self knows everything about you, which you have no idea about. And they don't want you to know that because it will affect your current life. Yeah.
There was something very interesting that you touched upon in this topic. You said the soul comes in the body, in the fetus, after the third month. So
It depends. Sometimes they take the body right before birth. There's no strict rules. This is the most you have. Most of the time, from my experience, I realized the moment child moved, that's me soul already there. It took over.
Okay. From the time the baby moves. Okay.
Consciousness is there already because soul is a consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah. So then this also solves the whole discussion around abortion because people believe that, you know, you're killing a soul, you're taking away a life.
No.
So if for 3 months there is no life. Yeah.
There is no soul there. Please, to all the women, do not feel guilty. Yeah. Don't feel that you committed sin. No. If you're not ready, because there is no soul to take over that body. If in your mind you're not sure, imagine you're going to someone and you're not sure that they want you. They don't want to welcome you. They won't even want to open the door for you. Will you go to that house? No.
No.
So first, what souls want to know that you are long waiting for them when you struggle and you want them like really, then you will love. Nobody wants to go into the family when they're not going to love you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about then,
also. Yeah, but young souls, it's different.
Young souls, they just one after another take the body, whatever is available. Sometimes mother will think to have an abortion and then someone will come to her and say, no, abortion is no good. You're going to have this child. And then she wake up, no, we're going to have this child because our thoughts are queuing to take the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then she will say, no more children. Next year, she's pregnant again.
Yeah.
You understand?
So does this mean the mother also has a young soul? Because an old soul woman will not...
cannot go to the young family. It never worked. It's same like you said, in our consciousness, go back to the animal. No, it can't because you can't survive as animal. Because you're already not so much. You got self-awareness. Animals don't have a self-awareness.
Okay. So, like from what I'm making out of this, people with easy lives, basically, they're the old soul? Or...
Look, from your perspective, we say easier life, but no one actually having easier life.
Has an easy life,
Our struggles are different.
Yeah,
for young souls, it's physical. For old souls, it's emotional.
Mental. Yeah.
Men. Yeah. True.
Okay. And how long?
This planet is not for easy. This planet is, we're coming here to do the work and to learn and hopefully to ascend. If not possible, not to go from grade 4 to grade 5. Grade 4, we want to go to grade 6. Sometimes we take tasks more, but your guide or your planet will say, you're sure maybe it will be too much. No, I will be okay. I want to progress because we're ambitious. Ego is there.
Yeah.
And then things go sideways and you end up with the worst place when you originally came from. And then they have to come and get you out from there to bring to the light.
So how long does it take for one soul to reincarnate? Is there a timeline? Like, what I'm trying to say is, if somebody comes to you,
from our point of view, ancient souls, I met the ancient soul who've been here 2,000 years ago, last time they've been here. They've done with the reincarnational cycle. They just come to help. Some of them can be not even ever been to the planet Earth. They come from different realities. Old souls, let's say 100, 150 years, two, three, depends. Because when you're there, you're not registering time. Unless you come to the planet Earth or you look at the planet, oh, geez, how much time passed there? I didn't even realize that before. Because there, it's no perception of time. But you know why? Because time is attached to the change. Why humanity created time? Because change are happening on this planet. Because we go day, night, we get older, someone born, something like that. So we need to register that. In non-physical reality, there's no need to do that. Because nothing is changes. You are same age. There is no day. There is no night. Everything is same. So that's the reason you don't register, you realize how much time you're there. And it's not necessary. All the spiritual world are interested in event, happening of event. When it's happened, it doesn't matter. There's no timeline there.
Yeah. But if somebody comes and talks to you and asks you to talk to a departed soul, what if that soul has already reincarnated? Can you still talk to them?
Sometimes it's if it benefits that person, I can see who they were in a past life.
Okay.
Most of the time, we don't want them to know because it will affect. If it carries healing purposes, it will help you understand why this thing happening to me now.
Hmm.
And then they will give me the picture or the scenery, or I can see who they were in a past life and say, this is why it happened. But most of the time, they want you to have not to have that baggage of the past life. And then you start to judge it. And everything happened to yourself instead of trying to fix it or trying to change your situation. Oh, you said, oh, because I was a bad person, the pastor. And then you stop fighting. Okay, I've got an abusive husband because I was a bad wife in my past life, so I deserve it. No one deserves this punishment. No one. So that's why not always we need to know our past lives. And sometimes we discover things which we're not proud about.
Yeah.
Things we've done in the past, we're all coming through the horrible turmoils, like 3,000 or 5,000 years of human history is all wars, killing, raping, and murdering. And we've been part of it. Thank God we are of it. We're moving forward. We don't want to remember that we killed woman or kid during the war.
Okay. And if I want to talk to someone who has departed, will the soul always be available to talk?
I found female souls are very available. They just jump in for the first time. The male are just like staying a little bit behind, like reserved, okay? And then when I was asking questions, why is this happening? Why the men, they're not that interactive? And then I realized once they stop into the non-physical world, they are so inquisitive. They go from one reality to another. They want to understand how things, they are technically driven. They get quickly drifted away from this reality. But when mother figure crosses, she always the connection with the kids, how are they okay? They always worry, they always want to help. So the moment you sit and then you see, boom, they immediately like pop in and able to give information. A couple of days ago happened with me. I wake up in the morning, now I'm shaving. And I see this old lady like dancing around me, swirling, like she's permanently. Now I've got two sessions, one in the morning, one in the evening. So in the first session, I ask, do I have someone on the other side? This old lady, but she's very vibrant. She said, no, I don't have any connection with my relatives who's on it. I said, okay, what's going on? And then when I come my evening session, and I see again this woman, like, not leaving me alone. And I asked the lady, do you know? Yeah, she said, it's my grandmother. But sometimes they're so impatient. They can't wait for the session. They just come in before session. And I have to control that. So that's how
But then this soul can again be born as a man.
Now we're coming to another topic,
which is quite big. So do we always keep coming to the same gender or not?
Most of the time, yes. Okay. Time comes, if you keep coming woman, and you're comfortable being woman, and then your spirit guide will approach you, said maybe it's time to experience what is it to be man. Because we are coming to experience this reality fully. All the religions, all the cultures. And unless you experience what is it to be man, you are not be able to graduate the school because this is part of you is missing. And then you said, okay, I will go into the man body. And then you got reincarnated, get born as a man. And then you look at yourself, you look in the mirror, say, no, something wrong with me. I don't belong to this body. That's where this gender identity problem, that's what we humanity going through now. Because spiritual world, the creators want us to experience both genders. Mm. You can see some men, there's lots of femininity with them. They are so attentive. They understand wife immediately. And there is another man, we call them warriors, who never been in a woman's body. Now you place that man into the woman's body, what is he going to be? Never will be proper woman. Takes 2 to 3 lifetimes to identify yourself to the body you're wearing.
Okay.
That's what we're planning going through now at the moment.
So why is so much of it happening right now? What is with the timeline?
Because the planet ascending. Is it growing? It's too for her to grow. She needs inhabitants, humanity also to grow. Because when we structured as a male and like female and male, like separated, segregated, the male always, they are war creators. They are, that's how they're structured. The female are creating energy. So this one is destructive energy. The female is constructive, positive. So for this was to stop creating wars and be more attentive, be more empathic, we need to place them into this. And then this was into this so they can understand each other better. So we try to bring male and female closer. We don't want this diversity was for thousands of years with the humans. We want to bring them closer so they can understand each other. So it's going to happen more. We will have more gays, we will have more lesbians, we will have more gender, not knowing actually who they are. So we're on that trajectory. It's going to happen. We cannot avoid it.
That's very fascinating.
You know how long it will take? Can be thousands of years. Yeah. If it all depends on humanity. If they embrace them, more souls will be brave to take to make a gender swap. If society said, no, we hate them, we don't want them, kill them, jail them, then so, whoa, I'm not going there, I'm not changing my gender, I'm happy with who I am now, because I don't want troubles. Very brave souls do take gender swap and to be incarnated in a society where you know they will be hated.
Yeah.
Just they come here to change our way of thinking. That's what's happening now.
Yes. That is brave. So, what is the best way to go? Like cremate a person or bury a person? Because a lot of religions...
I understand. Yeah. I choose for myself cremation. I told my kids, burn my body, don't even touch my ashes. No, what are you talking? We have to take... Okay, do whatever you like. I don't want any remains of me ever being on this planet. Nothing. As long as you remember me, my kids, my wife, I'm happy. I don't want anything more. I don't want this cemetery, the sculptures, and God knows what else they're coming up with. But it's not for everyone. If you are born and live in a culture where you strictly know if you don't bury, they don't put the tombstone, then you're not going to end up in a good place. Then that's you have to honor that and to do it.
Okay.
Because otherwise, once they cross over and family doesn't do what in their mind they suppose, they cannot find their peace. And they will keep coming during the night, like whispering to you. And then you wake up with the feeling that we should go to cemetery. We have to fix this. We have to do this. We have to do this. You understand? Mm-hmm. So they get the souls are constantly attached to the physical world because the grave is not the way they want it to be. It bothers them. Instead of move on and go ahead with their life on the other side, they are like they can't get closure. So what I say is not a clean exit. Clean exit is important. You leave nothing behind.
Okay.
Then you're in peace. Then you, the only tie with this reality is emotional. It's a love, nothing else. Or because you're worried, because you want to do your daughter or your son to progress, you want them to. But even this, with the time, you get drift away. So when somebody just recently died, we always like, we feel their presence. They step into our reality. We can smell them. We can hear them. With the time, they got drifted away. And that's the disconnect, all slow disconnection happened. And that's a normal thing. We all go through this.
I want you to tell me about soul contracts. How does that work? Do we always come back with the same people?
Okay. When you come as a young soul, you have no family. On other side, we got classes. Usually it's 25 to 30 souls, which create like a group of souls. Those group of souls, they know each other. They want to reincarnate together. During the process of coming, going, this group breaks up into the smaller groups. As you get into the different families, you're creating these emotional ties. And then when you come together to the other side, you said, okay, we're going this time together because you feel comfortable. Because you're not only with them here together, you're also there with them on other realities. Now, what I was telling you previously about personal reality and collective reality, it's false for the old and advanced souls. Young souls, they live like in the villages, in the group, they're together. Same like here, very similarly structured.
Okay.
What we saw, poor is not poor, that's where they feel more comfortable themselves.
Yeah.
They keep together. And then the groups, they come and go back. So they will create these family groups. And then with the time comes when your planners and your spirit guides will approach you and said, you know what? Okay, you've been together so many times. You know each other. Now you need to experience other cultures, other religions, other realities. And then suddenly you get reincarnated into the country or in a family you've never been before. And you say, if you look at, I said, I don't belong to this family. This is not my place. Yeah. Something wrong, nobody understands me, but it's for the, because you're first time in that country on this, but this was done for you so you can grow or you can learn or you can teach also the same time. So that's where dynamics have break. And then the more, because the idea to get you out of this reality for yourself, not to be dependent on anyone else, complete, content. You don't want anything else, anyone else to complete you. Accept the one, your soulmate or your twin flame. Because that's where merger happened between the one who you want to be forever together. So you together, you complete. Sometimes souls graduate even by themselves. So this is how this structured. So we slowly we're breaking our ties because they help us to go through the difficulties of time. But with the time, we get moved on. And this is a normal process. Like you born into the family, time comes, you have to step out of family to create your own family or to move on. That's basically works same way.
But not everyone gets to meet that twin flame, no?
It's when you come, when you're about to graduate the school.
Okay.
Then you, I find most of the people who got their twin flame, they come with a bigger mission here. So they are helping each other to go through what they choose to perform, what they choose to bring to the planet Earth. Do it be the knowledge or some technological advancement. It can be something that we never heard before. Wow, this person come and give us. But it's also various. Sometimes your twin spirit, most of the time I find out, it stays in non-physical reality and helps you perform and to do what you came to do. And that's why this advanced soul, they cannot find a partner or someone to share their life with, because their partner is in non-physical reality and guiding and helping them. Whoever comes to their life and they live a little bit to this, and no, this is not my person, because you are not meant to find your twin flame here, because you got already it in a fourth or a fifth dimensional reality.
That's interesting.
What can I say? Imagine me discovering all this.
Exactly. So what is your normal day like? Like, There is always something in your head. There's always somebody roaming around you.
I've got furniture manufacturing company, and I'm wood carver. Every time when I carve something, I do carving, I get zoomed out. While I'm driving, I'm surprised, when how did I get here? So I'm constantly in a contact, but most downloads happening during the night, and I wake up in the morning with sometime I said, please don't want to talk to me. I need to loose pieces of puzzle to put together to make one complete picture, because it's so much. You need to understand, to shovel it, to bring it to the place. So I said, okay, that's what was the message. Mostly during the night, before I go to sleep, I close my eyes, and then I see through my closed eyelids, like I'm already in different reality. Sometimes you're wondering, my closed eyes are closed or they open, and then you open and say, no, I close again, you get into them, and I know I'm going to go drawn into some other reality just before I fall asleep.
Before this experience happened, did you like believe in Christianity? Because I'm guessing you're an Armenian Christian.
Yeah, Orthodox Christianity. But we've been raised in a communist country. We're atheist. We've been raised not to believe in anything except the communist party leader. Best man in the world. So yeah, so for me, it was basically, I realized I wasn't reading to learn. I was reading to remember. Like I told you, downloading. Yes. Many times happened to me, because I got quite nice library here. I said, it was interesting idea in that book. I'll go through the whole book and I will not find it because it wasn't there. Because while I was reading this book, it helps me to remember what I need to remember.
Arthur, this has been really interesting. Thank you so much for being here. Tell us where we can find you. How can people contact you?
Okay, my Instagram page, Afterlife with Arthur. Yeah. Books which I wrote, two books been published with the Ozark Mountain publishers. They can read it like there is step by step, basically, what was happening with them. With these characters, they were like non-physical realities are really explicitly explained and shown, and like that was mind-blowing for me. That's where my journey started. Yeah, so basically, and my WhatsApp, whoever writes any comments, I always send their answer. I try to keep in contact with my followers. That's, I think, most important thing. And the thing they're saying and they're sharing information, it's sometimes my wife says to me, how can you even complain with so much drama? Because happy people don't contact me. They contact me because of the problems.
Yeah.
And here their problems, somehow I realize I'm built for that. I'm not taking it personally. And the moment I read the question, I got immediately answer. But from a random person, I know what they need to hear and what will help them to go through the difficulties they're going through.
And do you advise everybody to contact you for one-on-one sessions or?
No, definitely no. Only when you feel it. If you hear and you say, and you've got something to say or want something to know, then please, not for just for fun. Only if you really need it. But it's, you always, I say, listen to your inner voice, inner truth. We all came with that knowledge.
Well,
if I can help, it's only pleasure for me.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Arthur. It's been a real joy.
Thank you.